The Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus heard about the healing of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, Bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. A very good morning to you all. Today I will first try to explain a few things before I can really get into details of this text. And why I chose to do that way today in my preaching is because this is one of the texts which has got a lot of controversies and a lot of debate among many theologians and preachers. But I don't want to dwell in that. I don't want to dwell in all these conversations and all things surrounding this text. But of course, you may understand or know very well that the first argument that we see in this text is the miracle of the multiplication of bread. That is the common understanding. Even when we read, that's the first thing that we see. But is it exactly about the multiplication? I don't know. But let's find out in this text, what exactly is it about? Is it the miracle about what Jesus did, or something else? What is it? But first, let me highlight important issues that may help us to understand what exactly is taking place in this text. And for Matthew, this is one thing very critical about this text is it is written in all the 4 Gospels. But Matthew has got a different version. And Matthew used certain ways in order to derive certain message to the people of that time. So that's why you will find there is the mentioning of the beheading of John the Baptist. So in other words, when you begin to look at this text, first, understand Matthew as a writer and his audience at this particular time. Now, the issue is what we see right at the beginning is the juxtaposition of the lifestyles of the rich and the lame, of the and the shameless. And in this case, is Herod the tetrarch, who represents the king, the mighty, and those people who lived lavishly on one hand. And on the other hand, we see the poor, the sick, the hungry crowds looking for relief on the other side. So this is what we see right there at the beginning. But now, the issue we want to see is what is exactly Jesus is saying in this text. Is it about what Jesus did? Or in other words, we can now say, should we focus on what Jesus did? Or we want to focus on why Jesus did it? And this is where I would like to highlight much. Not on the miracle about what he did, but on the miracle of why he did it. And this is what I'm going to focus on. But before that, let's just look into certain things closer home so that we can be able to unpack this text. A lot of people do need bread. You and I, we need bread. But again, there is lack of the basic necessities in life across the globe. And in our own country here, they say one in four children lives in a household that sometimes runs out of food. And poor countries around the world, about 1 billion people, or more than 1 billion people, are hungry in the most literal sense. So these people can't afford anything. They can't afford 3 basic meals, maybe one per day or none at all. So you can imagine the children are weakened by hunger and they die in large numbers. But today we see and we want to pose certain questions as we continue to grapple with this text. How could Jesus expect the disciples to give them something to eat? Why would he do that? And how are they going to do it? To feed 5,000 men. And of course, now you add wives, you add widows, you add children. Who came to that? And some people want to believe the number was almost 20,000 or more on this gathering. And it's just difficult to feed these people. And that was pushing them beyond their limits, pushing the disciples beyond their limits, beyond what they can do. And that's for sure. And it's true. And however, it did happen. 5,000 or more and more people were fed. Right? It could only be called a miracle. That's one of the things that comes into our mind. It only could be a miracle. But now I go back to what I started. Is it a miracle about the multiplication? Or it's a miracle that happens only because there is compassion. So this is one of the first steps of the miracle that we see. The miracle of compassion. And it can only work when the Lord is at work. The miracle that works only when God is at work. But here is something, my dear friends. The limits we set can be pushed aside. The limits that we set can be broken and gone beyond when the Lord takes, gives thanks and gives. All the barriers that we can put, they can be broken by God himself. So, let's go further. Jesus had just heard the news about his cousin, John the Baptist, being beheaded by John the Tetrarch after Salome had danced at his birthday party. So we can see now Jesus has just received the news about the death. So he wanted to be alone to think about what had just happened or what he has heard, but also what that meant for him and his mission or his ministry as well. But we see he did not succeed. You know, he tried to, he took the boat, go to the other side, but he didn't succeed. What really happened? He was mocked. He was mocked by the people. But here's something that is unique. I know you and I who will not say we could not do that. When I come from work, where you have been there for 8 hours, and somebody wants to say, do this, you just, no, not today, my dear. Just not today. You know, try another weekend, but not today. Yeah, people, we are human, we get exhausted. It's normal to get exhausted. And it's normal even to give an excuse. But what did Jesus do? He did not get disappointed. That's the first thing. He did not chase them away. Instead, when Jesus saw them, he had compassion and healed their sick. So, another important thing, the text doesn't say that the disciples themselves didn't have compassion. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. So we cannot say, Jesus had the compassion, the disciples didn't. But again, the disciple represents us because they see things 1 + 1 add up to 2. You know, that linear kind of thinking. No, this can't be possible. So, but they were not. It doesn't mean they were not compassionate. But the crowd was just too much for them to think of any way of feeding them. The crowd was just too big. And it's normal to think that way. It's too big to do it. So the disciples asked, where on earth with these scattered resources that we have, you expect us to feed them? Where are we expected to find food for so many people? And these are important questions. But they are just but humanly questions. They are, after all, out in the desert place. And it's ridiculous. And even it is very insulting for someone to think to feed 5,000, more than 5,000 people in a desert. I know here in America, every corner of the street you find a grocery store. Somehow. Now we are talking about a desert where there are no shops at all. The disciple was just saying, Jesus, you're just kidding us, right? You don't understand here. Where do we get these resources? And it's just in a desert. How can we do it? And again, if you read the text in John, it says when Philip, it's actually Philip who asked the question. And Jesus and Philip actually went further and said, you know what? Even 200 denarii would not be able to buy the food to feed these people. And by the way, 200 denarii was equivalent to 1 year's salary. And even 1 year's salary was not enough to feed these people. So how can this be possible for us to do it? So in other words, they were presenting the difficulties and the problem they saw in this context, which was very difficult. But my dear friends, let's see something in depth in this text, which I think is very exciting as we go further. 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not a match for such a great multitude. And here we see the tension that can only be resolved through some fresh and miraculous, powerful intervention. So Jesus takes what seems like a terrible, meager resources at hand. And of course, Matthew doesn't mention that. And that's why I don't like Matthew in this case. Because Matthew doesn't mention something important. But rather, you will find this in John. I say this text is written in all 4 Gospels, right? You will find it in John. John now, he says, you know what? There is a little boy there. He actually pointed to this young man. And there is, not Kenton. No, guys, okay? There is a little boy there. And this little boy, he has got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Matthew doesn't write, because always Matthew wants to write to the Jewish community. And his Jewish community, children, small boys are not counted. They're not counted. So he does not want to mention that. But John is very important in this text because he wants to single out that, you know what? It's the meager resources with a little boy. Meager resources with a little boy. By the way, let's go back a little bit here. Let me just pause. And let's go back to 2-3 Sundays before. You will find we were all dealing with this little, right? First, it was the parable of the sower, right? Right? And the second, it was the parable of the weeds. And the third, it was the parable of the mustard seeds. All these are the little, right? The littles are coming. And today, we are on the little boy and the little boy. By the way, these loaves of bread are not the loaves that you go to Wegmans and find these huge loaves like this. No, it was just a small dough like this, and it's called a loaf. This small like this. Somewhere. It was just small. It's not as huge loaf that we all know. Small. Right? And now we see this little coming, right? So the little boy with the little loaves and two fish. That we see here. So in other words, we see the miracle of the littles that are taking place in this text. So 4 weeks, we are dealing with the littles, and these littles are making something different in the community and in the world. And you may begin to ask yourself, as little as me, you know, me, what can I do? Oh yes, you can do something, Harold. You can do something. You can. We all can. In our little corners, yes, we can change something. And we can make a difference in that. So even there is an overabundance of food, and scarcity in the face of that need is contrasted here in with the gracious and extravagant abundance that is offered in the hand of Jesus. And the text goes on and say, they ate and were filled, fulfilled, satisfied, and there was surplus. 12 baskets. And that's the way with Jesus. Even in the wilderness, even in the close of the day, as night is falling, if Jesus is there, there is fulfillment. Hallelujah. There is fulfillment. There is abundance. There is extravagance. And there's an overflowing of graciousness. As long as Jesus is there, there is. And God is like that. God is like that. You know, God has always been very extravagant in the way he do. So when he started creating people, flowers, birds, and animals, and all that, he started and he didn't know where to stop. All things were just going on and on and on. That's the way God operates. But here, there was, let me tell you a story, which I think can also help us to understand this as I go to the conclusion of this text. There was a woman with three children. So this woman went to her mom, and she wanted to adopt the fourth child. So she went to her mom, and she said to her mom, "Hey mom, I want to adopt the fourth child." I think you can guess what the mother said here. You know, the mother said, "Do you think that's wise?" That was the first question. "Don't you think that there are limits? You have got three children already, four. That's too much." And listen to what this leg says. "When it comes to love, I haven't yet found the limits. From my experience, love feeds on love. It grows by being given away. The more you love, the more love you give, the more love you seem to have. And that's how it has been in my experience." And you know, She's right. The more love you give, the more love you get, you have. But the last thing that is so spectacular in this text is what Jesus said to his disciples. You give them something to eat. Jesus did not say, okay, let them sit down, I'll provide the food. No. No, he didn't say that. He said, yes, let them sit down, but you give them something to eat. So it's you and I. We are to give people some food. So in other words, Jesus used the disciples to tend the needs of these poor and hungry thousands of men, women, and children that God so loves so much. So in other words, what we see in this text again is an invitation to action and involvement of the disciples. So in other words, we can say disciple is not about following, but discipleship is about participation. Can you say amen? Great. It's about participation. So when we go out in our communities, my dear friends, with the little to feed the hungry, to give shelter to the homeless and the immigrants, with the little we have, with the little that we can take, Jesus will take our little, look to heaven, give thanks, and then give to us, his disciples, to give to those who he loves, those on whom he looks, and by his redeeming grace, and bless them. So whenever we do what we are doing in our small way, let's know that it's not about us, and it's not about what we are going to do, but it's about what God is going to do. So when we bring our meager gifts to God, our 5 loaves and 2 fish, our meager and ordinary talents and gifts, we bring the simplicity of who we are to God, and look what mighty miracles God can do with our little lives. So God can use your inadequacies and mine and work mighty miracles through them. Now, the last thing. Now, what do we see in this text? So we see the first picnic in the world. The first picnic which Jesus held is here. So more astounding is Jesus transforming the crowd into a community. A community united in their need for one another, in the bread they share, in the love of Christ who has brought them together. Christ empowers each one of us to perform our miracles of creating a community. And when we move the fences to include others, when we welcome the rejected and the forgotten to our tables, when we give of what the little we have joyfully and gratefully for the sake of others, when we welcome one another as we would welcome Jesus. My dear friends, some people want Jesus to work a transformation of the loaves so that the loaves continually multiply every day for them by themselves. But I want to suggest this morning that what was transformed here was the selfish hearts of the 1,000 men. That when they saw the example of the little boy giving Jesus his 5 loaves and 2 fish, they were inspired as well to take their loaves of bread from their baskets, which they had hidden, and they begin to share to one another. So if Christ worked the miracle today and transformed 5,000 or 5 million selfish hearts, we would change the entire world. You can imagine what will happen if all of us, even if God will just work with people in Massachusetts only, we can change the entire world. My friends, this morning, God still cares deeply and passionately for those who are most vulnerable, the poor, the immigrant, and the hungry. And God continues to use us to care for them. And for all of you who are fed and who will be fed today on God's table, I ask you to go and do likewise, sharing God's love with all we meet, especially with those in the deepest need. Thanks be to God. Amen.